Hey friends, welcome to the Rhythms for Life podcast, where each week we talk about four rhythms that help you reduce stress and anxiety and take charge of your emotional health. Rest, restore, connect, create.
These ideas come from Rebecca's best-selling book, Rhythms of Renewal, trading stress and anxiety for a life of peace and purpose. So grab your copy, invite your friends, and let's live in rhythm.
Welcome back. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Gabe. And
Father's Day week.
Father's Day week. I hope you guys had an amazing Sunday, feeling celebrated. I felt so celebrated.
Good.
Thank you. You did such a good job.
We were intentional this year because often we are on our way to Lost Valley Ranch on Father's Day. And it means a lot of airplanes and juggling kids.
Yeah, it's a lot of me being a good dad.
But not necessarily not really feeling appreciated.
Sitting back, relaxing, and watching the U.S. Open, which is what it used to be for me on Father's Day. I used to enjoy a Sunday afternoon U.S. Open. And now that every year we have this tradition of going out and spending time at Lost Valley Ranch, which we just love this place, and our kids love it. It's been a great tradition. But Father's Day, your intentionality to just, So we got to celebrate early. We decided to do it when we were all going to be home and together and had a big breakfast together. And Rebecca had each kid sharing favorite memories this year. And it was just a meaningful year of feeling
Feeling all the love from your family.
Yeah, it was good.
And it's so sweet as our kids get older. They really do find words, you know? I mean, obviously Kate and Joy are like, we love you. But it's wild to like raise kids that are now adults that are still just so honoring. And even the things and the insights they bring and that they see, like you and I don't even ever think about, right?
Yeah,
and they just bring it to the table and you're like, oh, I didn't know that that was actually something they were processing or taking in. But it's so sweet to see that come full circle when they share that back with
Absolutely.
You.
Well, also, we're excited to tell you more about Lost Valley Ranch because October 21 to 24, you can come out to Lost Valley Ranch and experience that. We've done multiple retreats there now, and it is by far just one of the favorite experiences for people because most of you, let's be honest, haven't gone out and hung out on a ranch. Some of you maybe have, but riding horseback, fly fishing, trap shooting, like all this recreation happening in these majestic mountains where you're sitting down in this valley, it's just beautiful. But then having these really intentional conversations about rhythms and how are we doing at that as a couple, as a family. So the things we're talking about this summer, how do we apply them? You're going to learn some of that on the podcast, but for these 3 days, we actually sit together and we learn together and we make decisions together about what are we going to do when we go home that's going to change the culture of our family.
Yeah, we really believe that this is not just a theory. It is a practice. And so part of these couples retreats we host at Lost Valley is so that you can come and learn and listen. Yes, we will have experts that will teach and educate us, our counselors, our therapists, holistic medicine, life planning, all of those things. But on top of that, you could actually be there and be present and doing the embodied work of getting on a horse or testing your bravery or testing your trust. And, you know, and I think that's learning a new line dance, whatever it is, but like living it, I think we were really convicted about this a couple years ago of like, there's this whole way of learning that you just sit in a classroom and you take notes and that's really helpful. But it's when you actually get to put those things into practice and you get to live it, it becomes ingrained. It starts to become transformational. And so these retreats are really grounded around Romans 12:1 that says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it feels like in this day and age, the cultural norm is just to do digital, right? Like that's a way to tune in. But what we also believe that's beyond that is to be transformed by doing something differently, by showing up, by sacrificing, by being present, by jumping the hoops required to show up.
Yeah, so the way we do this retreat, if you're interested, we want you to come join us because we invite some of our favorite people who've helped us a lot. We're going to have with us Bill and Lori Loki. We're going to have Dr. Motley. We have Pete Richardson. And what we do is we bring them in for interviews and conversations and Q&A around what does this look like for you to live out this rhythm and how can we all grow together in that. You go to RebeccaLyons.com/rhythmsretreat to learn more. Again, RebeccaLyons.com/rhythmsretreat. Learn more, register. Again, there's only 30 couples that can join us. So be one of those that if you're looking at your fall calendar, go ahead and plan it now and join us. You fly into Denver. It's a 2-hour drive, beautiful drive, and we'd love to have you there. Our marriage and parenting series this summer is brought to you by Aro. Let's listen in a little more on how much that's impacting our family. Have you found yourself saying, I'm on my phone way too much? And even if you haven't, does your wife say that? I know Rebecca says that to me a lot. She's like, your screen time was up last week. Mine was down. And it's become a weekly competition. Or do you think about your kids are always staring at their screens, right? Well, you're not alone. 91% of us have our phones with us all the time. They're really hard to put down, even for just a few minutes. That's all by design. Well, our friends at Aro, spelled A-R-O, have come up with an amazing solution that makes it easy to put down your phone and be present. It's unlike anything I've ever seen or experienced. Aro combines a sleek, Bluetooth-connected smart box that holds and charges your phone with a fun and motivating app that makes it easy to be away from your phone. Now, ours sits right next to our record player. It looks beautiful. It's a beautiful box. It's essentially something you're going to want on display, but it serves this purpose. You can have up to four phones in this actual box, charging, but also tracking how much you've put your phone down for the day. So together, they're going to help you develop the habit of putting down your phone so you can focus on the things that matter most. Maybe it's reading a book, enjoying dinner together, or even watching a family movie without a second screen. Now, here's what they're doing for you, our listeners. Until August 31st, Aro is offering the chance to win a three-night getaway to Bolt Farm Treehouse, a luxury mountaintop retreat that, just like Aro, helps people reconnect with nature, their people, and their purpose. So to register for a chance to win, text RFL to 66866. Again, text RFL to 66866. Additionally, Aro is offering RFL listeners a $25 discount by using code RFL at checkout and a free six-month subscription for a limited time. So order your Aro today at GoAro, that's GoAro.com, and use the promo code RFL.
So excited about today's guests, Josh and Christy Straub. We have been friends from a distance. Now we are real life friends and we live in the same city. We're so glad to know them personally, the work that they're doing. And this interview was so insightful because what Josh and Christy both talk about is the neuroscience behind the brain and the resilience attached to that and the relational components of that. And so bridging faith and science is something, as you know, over here on the podcast, we're super pumped about. And they bring that element to this conversation.
They're the authors of the book Famous at Home and also have an organization called Famous at Home. But what we love about them is they've really put a priority on thinking about the home life, not just the marriage, but also the relational life with our children, even in the earliest stages of life, and how impactful that is. Those years are on how we're shaping connection with our children and how much that's going to matter in the future. So you're not only going to get good marriage advice, I think you're going to get some great inputs on how do we show up well for our children and how do we make sure this summer our relational life and the health of our home is a top priority. Let's listen in now.
Hey friends, welcome back. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Gabe. And today we're coming at you in video from our home and having a conversation around this series that is going to be this entire summer around marriage and family. And our goal is to introduce you to some of the people that we respect who have been working in this field for a long time, who can help all of us be better in our marriages and also as parents.
Parents, absolutely. And we know that this has only escalated in the last couple of years when everyone found themselves at home full time in 2020. And the things that we were able to avoid or kind of dust under the rug all were exposed. And so we realized that we needed to grow in several areas and we're still doing that. And then we started learning from other people who have gone before us, who are experts teaching us a lot of things. So I'm so excited about this series. We're bringing the people who have poured into us to you. Because we know that whatever we've been given, we pay that forward. And we're so excited about this series with you guys.
Yeah, so it's one of those series that we'd highly recommend. You share it with other couples, maybe your friends. You know, all of us struggle at moments with our marriage. We struggle with our parenting. We all feel insecure and like we don't quite have it figured out. And we sort of assume everybody else does. And I think that lie can get in the way of our growth. And so I think over the summer, it's going to be fun for us to all grow together and learn a lot. So I'm excited to introduce to you our guests today. We have Josh and Christy Straub, and they're the founders of an organization called Famous at Home, also authors of the same book, Famous at Home. They have a podcast by the same name, and they are leadership, marriage, and family coaches. And they help a lot of leaders, a lot of people like you, really think through and work through all the ways to be emotionally healthy within their relationships, especially in their home. So Josh and Christy, welcome to Rhythms for Life.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
This is fun.
It's an honor.
Yeah, so let's start with just how you got into this and the kind of work that you guys do. Because, I mean, you don't just do counseling. I feel like you're coaching company leaders. You're trying to help a lot of people think through emotional health. So tell us a little bit about that work.
Yeah, so it started really for us working with leaders, but we were... For us, it started in our own marriage. I'm trying to like navigate how we actually talk about this because we were working with families. I started working with juvenile delinquents early in my career, and my job was to get them to feel remorse for their victims. But what I learned early on was that I couldn't get them to feel remorse for their victims because nobody else had sat in their world and had remorse for them for the way that they were raised. And so every first session, I'd give them a feelings chart. And I really tried to enter into their world to help them understand what they were feeling. So I'm going to fast forward to our marriage. And we, we met in grad school. So we felt like we were pretty well set. You know, I was 30 by the time we got married. She's 26. And our greatest opponent came into our marriage weighing 8 pounds and 1 ounce. Like colic, acid reflux. Like it was awful.
Awful.
And so like when you decide whether or not you're going to, like... Parenting is the most guilt-ridden, shaming task on the planet. You can't be a parent for more than 5 seconds to realize that. Like, you can't take them home from the hospital before you have to make a decision about whether or not you're going to immunize your child. We all know what that debate's like today. Do we co-sleep or not co-sleep? Do we breastfeed or bottle feed? Do we spank or not spank? Do we do time-ins or time-outs? Because now time-outs are like, it's just like, you feel exhausted. And so I remember going back into the research and looking at like, what really matters at the end of the day? When our kids are raised, when we have grandkids, what will have really mattered? And everything in the research led back to this idea of emotional safety. And, and that we, like all of parenting research can be summed up into one conclusion, and that's that our kids become who we are. And so we started to see this not just in our own parenting, but also in leaders. This idea that when we focus on the emotions of our employees, of our coworkers, of those that we get to lead, that you build relationship in a way that really builds trust and helps you lead well. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of Famous at Home came from us seeing ethical and moral failures, people calling us because of these crises, whether it was in the military, whether it was in churches. And we were looking at this going, man, how can we prevent this from happening? How can we really start to pour in and go, let's help leaders so there's not that ripple down effect and let's start preventing that.
Yeah. And I think you just nailed it right out of the gates when you talked about just the role of empathy, right? In anyone and everyone's story. We want to just jump to the behavior and the outcome of whether it's neglect or abuse, whatever that looks like. But acknowledging that and that person, those kids that you were counseling, feeling seen and known and heard, like that right there builds safety and trust.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I'm sure that informed you because there's a lot of content out there now that helps really direct us to that shepherding that heart or hearing that story, or let's start with what happened before this to get us where we are today. And I think that to me, I've learned even in our marriage or with our own kids, the older I get, the further I look back on their story. Does that make sense? Like even I'm learning right now that what happens in the first 2 months out of the womb, that attachment is so profound. So I wouldn't have thought that, you know, when I was 26 with, you know, like, or 28 with like 3 kids and just trying to keep it together. Mm-hmm. Like the truth is those early months are so formative in exponential ways beyond even the decade that follows.
Yeah. And I think we're learning even more about that,
yeah.
You know, and this idea that, you know, for us, what we have found is that, because we all have a chase, right? So it's like when you have those early years, we're wounded in some way, right? And so, like you said earlier, like we all have insecurities in our marriage. We all have insecurities in how we parent. We think everybody else is doing it well, but it's like, wait a minute. And so often we try to hide those insecurities by chasing the affirmations of the world, by chasing the things that give us significance. And what we find over and over again is that when we really press in to home, that's the idea of being famous at home, that you can show up differently in whatever God's called you to, because I show up differently when Christy blesses me going out the door versus when it's like, how soon are you going to be home? How long are you gone? Got the kid, right? It's like, I show up differently in how I go out into the world.
Yeah.
So Christy, I know you guys have 3 children and there was a little gap between the second and the third. Talk a little bit about
a big gap.
And that was intentional because you were processing some of this because you jumped in, as you said, like it was hard at first. And I know a lot of people listening and watching this, they feel that as well. So what was that like for you to go through this journey and learn, like, there's some things we're going to have to change?
Oh, well, and I could go back and I can remember, like, I could put myself back there right now where I had our son is our oldest, and he was difficult. And everyone was like, I promise this is not a normal experience. Like, this was, this is difficult. And so we signed up to do it again, and we get pregnant with our daughter, Kennedy, and she came and she was worse. And that's where I hit what I call the bottom rung of life, where I was just, I didn't even know who I was anymore. I remember someone dropped a pot in the kitchen and I just burst into tears. I was short with my husband. I was snappy with the kids. And I realized I was showing them the worst version of me that I'd ever been. Mm. And it took Joshua coming in one day. I really can remember it like it was yesterday. I'm in the kitchen. I'm in, you know, my mom uniform of my baggy sweatpants, college volleyball t-shirt, my hair's in a ponytail, no makeup on. And I'm spackled in banana and pureed sweet potato because we were teaching our daughter to eat solid foods. And he comes wafting in after a day walking.
He wafted in.
But it was like this, he'd been working at a coffee shop, right? So it was like this latte, you know.
Zen moment.
And I'm like, haven't talked to someone who knows how to tie their shoes in days. And so I just, you know, we always talk about the story I'm telling myself, right? In marriage, in any relationship. So the story I'm telling myself is he has had this awesome day at a coffee shop. He's so pumped about all these projects that he's working on and great people he's met with. And here I am left at home, and I felt left behind. I felt alone. And in the moment, you know, whenever we're attacked, we often throw arrows back. And so my arrow that I just shot back was, why don't you ever ask me about my heart? And I said it, and then just the tears started flowing, and I don't even know where it came from, because I realized in that moment, I didn't know how I was. I didn't know how lost that I had become.
And I think it's important to say that you were sick all day, every day for the first 5 months of both pregnancies. Mm-hmm. You threw your back out for 3 weeks in the middle of that, like, and had a porta potty right next to the bed. Like, there's so much more than just having colic and acid.
It was physical exhaustion,
beat down.
I had this back injury that I'd had for 17 years. And so I couldn't carry our babies. I couldn't lift them in and out of their cribs. Mm-hmm. I couldn't put them in their car seat. So when he'd leave, I was literally stuck at home. I couldn't go anywhere. And it was just this compounding effect. And we all have these stories of—
But I love that you said that. I see that as a cry for help. Like, hello.
Oh.
And so important. Like, that's vital. Like, if you can't kind of name that immediately, right? Because otherwise we will bury it.
Yes.
And it will be a seed of resentment that becomes bitterness. And then it becomes like, oh, it must be so nice to go to the coffee shop.
And that's exactly what I was feeling. Like, exactly, this must be so nice for you. But I realized I couldn't name it. Like, it's exactly what you said. I couldn't have told you that I felt so lost and that no one was inquiring of my heart. And so that took us on this journey of, as he's writing about emotional safety and raising our kids, and I'm at home losing it and lost. And so we went down this journey ourselves, and that's why we talk about this and why it matters so
much.
The
cool part is and I don't know if we have time, but the redemption story of the way Micah came into the world, our 2-year old.
Yeah, so we have 9, 7 and almost 2. And I think in those years, in our gap years, it's where the Lord did a deep healing work, not just in me, but in our relationship and in my story, like going back to where were these wounds seated and why am I struggling so much to even communicate to you how I'm feeling? And what we find with so many, especially moms, like I'll speak to the moms, they're anxious. They're struggling with depression and like deep sadness, loss of purpose, loss of identity. They don't even know who they are. Yeah. And so it's a place where I think almost you get crippled. Like, where do you go from here? Right. Like, how do I get out of this? And we talk about being on the bottom rung. I mean, that first rung that I grabbed was going back to like a feelings chart, starting to label a feeling. And I know that sounds so simple and basic, but that's where really the beginnings of emotional intelligence begin. And we wrote a kid's book called What Am I Feeling? And we did that partially for kids and partially for the adults that love them because we had told all the time, like, I have this in my closet so that I can tell my husband how I'm feeling. Right. I'm like, I get it.
You're like,
it
was on our chart. It's not just for the kids.
It is not just for the
kids. How many feelings are on the feelings chart you use? Because we've seen the 8, the 16. Okay. What is it?
Well, we only have 9 on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it was like for 4 to 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
But
Hey, we could go. We could go.
I feel like a 9 is good. Like less, yeah. less oh, options. The less, makes the better. Feel
yeah. like, you see, like the whole list.
Happy,
like,
sad,
angry, afraid.
Yeah.
And I think, but like, it starts to organize our world, and that's what it did for me. It started to organize my world, and I started to be able to communicate in words to Josh, to friends, even to counselors. Like, this is where I'm at, and I don't really know what to do with that, and that's right. okay. But we can get you to that place, and then the Lord will put the people in your step, you know, for the next layer. I love
what
almost.
I love what you said about where women are right now, and where you were, where I've been, where I can go quickly if I'm not, if there's not some guardrails there.
Yeah.
And part of that is so much isolation, right? Yeah. So that anxiety just escalates, or the depression, or the, I must be the only one who's facing this. And so in your head, it just grows and grows and grows. And you think that your spouse is supposed to be able to help you fully process that. Mm-hmm. And while they do great, you do awesome, babe. You're really good at this.
I'm awesome at that.
I realized that part of my healing journey went beyond him, obviously. And even me just trying to do more for the kids and be better and, you know, more resilient, but more going outside of that, going, I need to be vulnerable with the friends who don't have to stay, and really make myself lead with vulnerability in those places, and realize, oh, wow, there's some other women just like me, you know, on the front lines of their home, feeling the same level of failure and exhaustion, and going, oh, wait, we can actually over each other, like, call out life or truth and go like, I know you feel that way. I feel that way. But here's what I see in you, you know?
And I like you better because I just saw the real you.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, you use a feeling word and you'll notice. We just did it the other day. We were having a conversation and he said, you know, I feel brave. And I was like, my whole heart just leaned in. Mm. You can't help it. Whereas when we're throwing up these imposters, which is what we function in a lot of the time until we can dig in to the deeper layers of ourselves and communicate them to the people we love, we show up as imposters. And I can't have a relationship with an imposter. So if you feel like at home, you're listening to this and it's like, I just feel like I'm not connected, maybe to my spouse, maybe to my kids, maybe in relationship with friends. It's likely because these imposters are functioning for you. Mm-hmm. And that's not a shame thing. Like, they've gotten us to where we are. They've helped us. But in order to connect and to truly be known in relationship, and I think that's the fear we all have, is if they really know me, they'll leave.
Yeah.
But what you'll find is when you're real, this, like, there's this true, like, I see you, Rebecca. Yeah. Like,
I
know
you. That famous
you.
Quote, you too, I thought I was the only one, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's how friendship is forged.
And when you talk about imposters, I know for people, maybe they're hearing that language for the first time. I mean, it's basically the idea of presenting a certain front that you think people will love or that makes you appear stronger or in a different way than maybe you're deeply feeling. And many times we operate out of that. Right. 23 hours out of the day.
And we think that's true of us.
And we think
that's
who we are.
We think that's really who we are.
But because it worked for us growing up. It was the thing that was rewarded. Yeah. That's that side of us that got some affirmation, some accolade. And so it became this like false self that we project in order to kind of be kind of accepted as.
So Josh, I think men have a really hard time with this. And I know Rebecca, as she travels, speaks, talks to a lot of women. I mean, one of the greatest complaints that comes back all the time is my husband will not be vulnerable with me. And I think the husbands are sitting there hearing their wives say, will you please be more vulnerable? And they're kind of like, I don't even know what you mean by that. I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah.
What have you learned? I mean, you've counseled and coached a lot of people that are busy, successful career people that in every other chart in life, just nailing it. But when they come home, they're not famous.
Well, and that's
they're the worst person.
And that's the thing that I hear. I can lead 100 people at work, but I come home and I have no idea how to lead my own family, right? And so I just want to start by saying, man, like, this is no shame. Like, a lot of us didn't grow up in homes where we learned how to do this. And so, number one, no shame. Number two, when you start talking about feelings with your spouse, it's awkward if you've not ever done it. Like, it feels awkward. I remember being invited to Joint Special Operations Command at Fort Bragg a number of years ago to speak on emotional safety to guys who were trained to capture or kill. That's their job. And I had to pull out all my scripture. It was only research. So, I mean, I was more nervous than I've ever been to speak anywhere. But it resonated. And now I speak to Joint Special Operations Command all the time because what I learned is the very thing that they're trained to turn off to survive on the battlefield is what they have to turn back on to survive when they get back home. Mm. And that's not just military men. That's all of us as men.
Wow.
That in order for us to truly, like, the Bible says to guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Well, when we get married, we become one flesh. We have one marital heart to guard. And if I'm going to fight for Christy, I've got to know what's going on in her heart more than what's going on between the two of us. Mm. And so when she was talking earlier about her, when I came wafting in with, it was right around that time that John Townsend, who's been a mentor and friend of ours for many years, he said to Christy, he said, if you let Josh just come to this leadership retreat for a week, 10 years from now, you'll be so grateful you did. Like, just let him come. And it's in the middle of all of this going on, right?
She's like, yeah. Yeah.
So like a week later, I leave.
For another week, right?
I leave. Yeah. But what I learned there was that the greatest leaders of men, like the greatest leaders, they can do not just content-based conversation, but process-based conversation. So it's not just about facts. Mm. Like, this is neurobiological research among Forbes 500 leaders, you name it, that it's about process, mm. the process, the feelings-based. And so I came home to Christy and I was like, honey, like, I can't be a great leader until I first do this with you. And so we started implementing this thing that we do with everybody we coach. We put it in the book. It's kind of this core thing of what we do. And that's 15 minutes a day. And I come home where instead of doing a high and a low for the day, I ask her, because she said her main complaint was, honey, why don't you ever ask me about what's on my heart? Mm-hmm. And so for me to sit down and go, what was one positive emotion you felt today? Tell me about that. And then what was one uncomfortable feeling that you had today? Mm-hmm. And let me enter into that. Mm-hmm. Because until we get beyond, you think of it as peeling back a layer, like when we've got busy kids, when we got sports events, when we got running, we talk about the business of the day, but we never truly get into the heart. Right. And the way for me as a husband to guard my wife's heart is to know what's going on in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then we just flip that and say, listen, like, it's going to be awkward at first. You don't have to sit down across the table and stare each other in the eye and do this. You can do it while you're unloading the dishwasher. And then, like, the other thing too is don't try to fix it. Like, just listen. Yeah. We have found that in our own marriage, it comes back to the simplicity of, like, just simply listening without trying to fix each other.
Mm-hmm. And so then you do the same in the 15 minutes?
And
then I do
the same, yeah. And so, and a lot of times it lasts 2 to 3 minutes. It's not even 15. But there's been times where it's lasted 2 hours. But if she would say to me, hey, sweetie, can we sit tonight and talk for 2 hours about our emotions? I'd be like, yeah, there's a game on, right? Like, not doing it.
I got to mow the grass again.
But because we created the space for it, it allowed for those opportunities to happen. And they were game-changing discussions in our marriage.
Yeah, it's back to that mental health is not a theory, it's a practice. And so you're just practicing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, baby steps, right? For a lot of people listening, they're like, okay, I think I can practice this. If it's 15 minutes and it's like two questions and we can both take turns, let me write those questions down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because that can be the most intimidating part is how do we begin?
Yes.
And am I just going to sit there like a deer in headlights and have no idea? And I would say for Gabe and I, years ago, I grew up in, my father was a chronic oversharer, which is rare. Now that I'm, now that I'm older, I realize how rare that was, but I am a lot like him. And so he was very in touch with these emotions. And so I just assumed Gabe would be just like that.
No, that was not me.
And I was like, why don't you know how you feel? I'd be like, I feel like I could tell you exactly how you feel and
I
why
could
you feel.
I write an essay or like how do you need it? Yeah.
Right. And so I think for a while.
I had a counselor one time tell me that He talking to me was like talking to an Excel sheet.
Excel spreadsheet.
It's like facts, like you were just saying. Wow. Yeah. Inability to process and connect head and heart, just staying in my head.
Which is what's helped you succeed in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so that becomes an imposter though, right? Of just achievement and everything's right. I don't have any issues, no weaknesses.
Yeah. Or if we fix this and this, then this will be okay. We don't really need to go under the hood much more than that.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Because we're functioning well.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that journey for us has been a huge part of our growth in these. Yeah. I mean, we're in 25 years of marriage right now, but it's probably the last five.
I would say,
we've been able to really push into this area.
I would say year 19, something kind of erupted in me. It was kind of one of those moments like, why don't you ask me about my heart? But something happened in year 19 that probably should have happened in year 1, 3, 5, I don't know. But I just found that I had this kind of pent up frustration toward him and his inability to connect with me in that emotional place, knowing full well that he had tried, but on his end, shame was making him feel like I feel intimidated by her.
Good.
And
that's
I think this happens for a lot of men. I feel intimidated by my wife who's like journaled for hours for the last week.
Yeah.
She's got everything dialed. And if we meet, she's going to like really school me on.
I'm gonna get nailed.
And so I think that created more of a tension there because all I wanted was him to just be honest and like, why won't you be just honest? And I think him going, I kind of want to, but I feel a little scared of you.
And so just acknowledging that at that point in our marriage shifted to where it became a practice. Like, and there still have been moments since then where he'll say something and then I don't just listen. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that's, and he goes, and this is why I don't want to tell you, you know? Yeah. So just for those who are going to give this a chance, like, women, please do not react and learn from me the hard way. like when men are starting to feel that vulnerability and that safety that you're talking about, then we start to really bond in a way that allows for our kids to now model that. And I want to talk about our kids too.
Yeah.
Thanks to Pine Cove Summer Camps for supporting the Rhythms for Life podcast. Pine Cove is excited to announce they're opening a new overnight youth camp in Georgia, the Pine Cove Springs. Pine Cove is a Christian camp with over 50 years of experience. They are bringing Christ-centered, others-focused, and seriously fun counselors and activities to their new overnight youth camp in Georgia, the spring, serving 4th through 8th graders. My first overnight camp happened in 4th grade, changed my life, made me a camper from then on. So if you are wanting to join, spots are still available for summer 22. Check out pinecove.com/springs and use the code RHYTHMS250 for $250 off a first-time overnight youth camp registration at the Pine Cove Springs.
So the famous at home concept is obviously that when you come home, it's not only about the marriage, it's about the children. Mm-hmm. And you guys have been on this journey now for several years. Give us a little vision of like what starts to happen when you do put this energy into the home. And is it possible for somebody who's working a full career, they're out of the house, you know, and 9 to 5 or whatever it is that they're playing sports, all this is going on. How does a family cultivate that sense of authenticity and emotional health in the home?
Well, we're on the Rhythms for Life podcast. So rhythms is a huge part of it. I mean, you've got to create rhythms. And I know you guys talk about this, but it really starts with Sabbath. You know, it really does. We've got to learn how to rest. We've got to learn how to shut it off. God did that in the very beginning of creation, at the end of every day. He celebrated the good. And I think so often we look at the end of a day and go, we didn't have enough time for this. We didn't have enough time for that. And so even just entering into your kids' world at the end of a day to celebrate what good happened today, you know, and to voice that, to put that into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because I think so often our voice, you know, the power of the life and death are on the tongue.
Yeah.
And we're voicing what we didn't get done, what went wrong. And it's like, no, let's voice the good. And it's not in a fake way. I think we don't celebrate well, you know? And so
all the parents, like, I think we're so hypercritical of ourselves as parents that criticism doesn't just go internal. It then comes out at our kids. Mm-hmm. And so even the times we are at home with them, it becomes this like, you should, we've got to, that needs to be picked up. We got to do like, better, better, better. And I think this is where we get on this treadmill of exhaustion and burnout and also disconnection in relationship, because the kids don't really trust you because you're just coming at them with more critique, really. Yeah. And so when we talk about Famous at Home, 15 minutes with your spouse, we do 20 minutes of command for your time with your kids.
So and do you do that with like, all of them at once or one-on-one?
Well,
or how does that
And that's
look?
A great question, because you might be listening to this, you're like, you have 12 kids. And you're like, how do I do 20 minutes a day with my kids? And this comes out of research. Dr. Stanley Greenspan did research on, especially in infants. And you talked earlier about like the first 2 months. Like this is especially powerful in the infant years. Like even just getting that 20 minutes, the eye contact, like in a world of screens, like we need to be in eye contact with our kids. But 20 minutes of command-free time a day where you enter their world, you don't command the play. You don't you enter into their world and do what they want to do. It's gold for a child's brain and for their attachment. And so we just take this to every area of life. It doesn't matter what age your kids are at. And so what we say is that if we can do that with each child a day, that's great. But when you have multiple kids, really start thinking about which one do I, like this morning, even like we noticed, Christy noticed like one of our kids is like, you can tell longing for attention, like needs that one-on-one time, especially with mom.
But it comes out in misbehavior. It comes out in pushing you away, like this resentment. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I mean, I know, I can say it's our daughter, but the Holy Spirit like literally dropped in my spirit one day, do not douse her, dose her. Mm. And I was like, douse her, what does that even mean? And I realized, I think so often as parents, we want to be like, we're going to take you on a trip or we're going to go do like a full mom and daughter day. And it's like, just dose her, just 20 minutes, like just be with her and eye to eye, like really that bonding form is like left eye to left eye. And if we can just spend that time with our kids and we're not, it's not taking from us really. Yeah, right. It's just taking from us like Yeah. Maybe the boredom of playing chutes and ladders with someone who doesn't know which way is up and which way is down. So
yeah, when you talk about like an injured neuron in the brain can grow 2 millimeters a day, and it's through practice, practice, practice. And so it's more effective to practice piano 15 minutes a day than once a week for 90 minutes. Yes, like your brain actually can't receive and process that and heal when it's just these inconsistent spurts, right?
And the reason that emotional safety is so huge in kids is because of that brain, right? So a child comes in and they're emotionally overwhelmed and they can't name it because they don't know how to name it, right? They're just feeling it. I mean, we as adults struggle naming it, but that amygdala is going off. And when the amygdala goes off, our ability as parents to enter into their world to help calm their brain is what triggers the prefrontal cortex to help them to think straight.
Yeah.
Because that part of the brain is shut down when the amygdala is going off. And so, which is all at a limbic system. And so the reason that emotional safety is so huge is because when we as parents can calm our kids' brain when they're in emotional overwhelm, it triggers the higher functioning parts of the brain known for social control, self-control, emotion regulation, cognitive flexibility. And it's all of those things that lead to every outcome we desire in our kids.
Right.
Wow. Right?
Right. Right.
And so, I mean, and then just real quickly, I'm just going to give the biblical reference to that, because I think that Apostle Paul understood the brain when he in Philippians 4 said, the Lord is near, he's with us, right? Be anxious for nothing. And even before that, he said, let your gentleness be made known to all. Mm. And the word gentleness there means your power under control. Mm. You have power. You know what pushes your spouse's buttons. You know what pushes your kids' buttons. Mm. You have a power that you want to bring under control. Let your gentleness be made known in your home. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, neuroscience shows that gratitude and anxiety don't coexist in the brain. So you're like, with thanksgiving, God, thank you for all these things. And the peace of God. So you're labeling, you're putting to words your emotions to God. Mm-hmm. A peace which surpasses all understanding keeps your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it's not until that point that Paul then writes from prison, where it's not a very nice place to be. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, pure, holy, excellent, anything praiseworthy, think on these things. He didn't write think on these things before he wrote be anxious for nothing.
Right.
I think he understood that when we're anxious, we can't think straight.
Right.
So therefore, everything we're practicing, the 15 minutes a day with your spouse, the 20 minutes with your kids, Paul is saying this in Philippians 4, do this with God.
Yeah.
Do a prayer of examine where you sit with God and go, I'm anxious today about this. And here's where I feel. And you're labeling that. Yeah. It writes your story, it integrates your brain.
Right.
And that's where us as parents, I believe in a finite way, God has designed us as parents to be able to enter into our kids' world, calm their brain, get them to think straight so that we get the outcomes we desire.
Right. And it's even like naming those requests, those prayers, that pain, whatever it is, with Thanksgiving.
With Thanksgiving.
Right? So that you're not staying in kind of in that trauma, like that brain stem, like everything's terrible. I'm a terrible person. Look at us. Like we're doing everything wrong. It's like, I feel inadequate, deeply inadequate, or I feel ill-equipped for the work, but you, thank you, Lord, that you are, your strength is made perfect in my weakness. So it's kind of like that dual response to me is so unique. It's different than the world, right?
Yeah.
When he says a peace I give, the world cannot give, it's because in the world, it's kind of like you will your way into the positive vibes, right? Versus going like, God, you've just already said that in this world you have trouble, but you've still overcome it. So even though it feels like trouble right now, I know the Thanksgiving is that you're overcoming
it. And that's the double meaning of famous at home. Like having our identity grounded, we're already famous in our heavenly. Like he loves us so much. We love because he first loved us. And I think so often for us to be able to go into to experience his love for us, that's where all of this, like, he's there to meet us in all of that. He's there to meet our kids in all of that. That's what compels us to go love other people.
Yeah.
So,
so encouraging, such a great conversation, just getting to hear your own personal journey and your story, but now how you're helping so many other people in the area that I think God wants us to have success.
Yeah,
he wants our homes to be this beautiful space, this safe place in this world for our kids to develop. And so many of us are just doing the best we can, like just trying to get by. But these insights, I mean, just listening to you describe the power of those 20 minutes, I mean, that's a powerful thing to understand, that the results you really want to see in your children aren't going to necessarily come from you telling them everything they did wrong and coaching them up in every spot. But like this being present with them
yeah.
right. is going to transform yeah. the relationship and the outcome.
There's a phrase that we use in the book. It's in the music world, an overnight success, a decade in the making, right? It's yeah. like you, mm-hmm. we see
10,000 hours.
Yep. It's like at the end of the day, what feels like exhaustion as a mom in the home at day in and day out, mm-hmm. you're building something. You yeah. are a decade mm-hmm. from now, you're going to see the fruit of that. And it's mm-hmm. hard, but that's why you said, surround yourself with people who can journey with you. That's yeah. what it's about.
And in the book, you've got 7 practices and we've talked about a couple of them. If you had to just highlight for somebody who's new to this whole conversation of emotional safety, yeah. what are kind of the top 3 things you would recommend they just start with?
I would say talk about emotion. So we talk about making emotion language just a practice in your home. A practice Normal. Is a great word.
Yeah.
Because it's not typically, most of us did not grow up in a home where that is true. Or you grew up in a home where certain emotions were celebrated and other ones were shut down, punished, dismissed, whatever. And that's just to be curious about that for yourself first. Because like there are things that trigger me, like my kids do or Josh does, and it triggers me. And instead of feeling ashamed about that, it's get curious. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder why that is. I wonder why every time they do that, I get so angry. Mm-hmm. And it does, it leads back to our story, but we don't have to have the answers. And I think that you've said a couple of things that I just want to highlight. A lot of this, I think we come in thinking there's this great, expectation or demand on us with our, you know, in marriage, like when we're sitting down to do 15 minutes when you're, you know, with our kids. And I think that God is so much more gracious to us than we are to ourselves. He's just saying, be with and be yourself, like take off your cloak, take off these layers. And it's actually, you don't need to fix it. You don't even have to have a good answer for your kids' questions. You don't have a great answer for your spouse's issue that they're going through at work right now. It's just be with and yeah. take off your layers.
Beautiful.
And I think that is the beginnings of emotional safety. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can even just harness like the freedom that God has for us in that, and Josh will talk about this all the time. It just takes 3 out of 5? 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5 times.
Okay. Okay. That's even better.
Do you want me to do that?
Yeah. You say it.
Okay.
Cause that's
so,
way
so this idea of emotional safety. So this is kind of the guilt-free drop. So John Gottman, who's like the preeminent marital researcher, he also did research on emotion coaching kids. And what he found is that even if you get emotional safety right just 2 out of 5 times, you can still get the outcomes you desire in your kids. Like Shaq shot better than 40% from the free throw line, right? Like we can do this. And the reason is because you're going to yell, you're going to say things you regret, you're human, you're going to mess up.
Yeah.
But the research says a word called repair is the ultimate of relationships. Well, the Bible calls it forgiveness. And Jesus tells us to practice it a lot.
Yeah.
So when we enter into our child's world and we apologize for where we've been wrong and we ask them how we can make it right, what we do is we model for our kids that we're not perfect. We show them we don't expect them to be, and we model for them how to make it right. Mm. And Jeannie Cunyon, who's a friend of ours, she even told us, she's like, what if you take your kids to the cross in that moment with you? Like even in those, some of those moments where you go, I'm going to pray to Jesus to forgive me for this. Would you mind if you prayed with me to do that? And you're modeling for your kids that you have to go to the cross too. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just such a beautiful, so I just, to me, we're going to mess up, but even research shows it's okay.
Yeah.
Like when you mess up, just as long as we make it right.
Yeah. It's good.
Well, we're so thankful for you guys taking the time to help pour into all of us as well as to so many marriages, families that are listening right now. And we're so appreciative of your work. This is their new book, Famous at Home. And we would fully endorse mm-hmm. everybody taking this conversation to a more practical form, even for your family, and to read through this with your spouse, to make it a point of conversation. This summer, such a great time for us to all consider, what does it look like to reset our family? What are the new rhythms that we want to incorporate? How do we want to move back into the next school year? And take advantage of these weeks that are pretty rare, where we get a little more time to be with family, to work on these relationships. So we're grateful for you being a part of this, and we're grateful for you as well.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing?
Great conversation. Love the conversation with them. And I want to encourage all of you, get their book, Famous at Home, 7 Decisions to Put Your Family Center Stage in a World Competing for Your Time, Attention, and Identity. And I think the tips they gave us were a great start.
And just so you know, we are doing all of these on video. So if you hear this and you listen to it in the car, and then maybe you want to
watch this with your spouse back home, just go to RebeccaLyons.com and subscribe to a weekly email list, and we will give you the links to watch the whole thing on video.
And I want to remind you, if you're interested in that retreat at Lost Valley Ranch, join us for the Rhythms Retreat. Go to RebeccaLyons.com/Rhythms Retreat, and we'd love to have you be a part of that with us. And stay tuned. Share this with so many of your friends. We'll continue on with episode 4 next week as we continue to move into the conversations that matter most about our marriages and our families.